Planet Shakers. We want to welcome you today, and it's a privilege to be sharing with you a message I've called Hidden Places. This is something I got to share with our church just recently. I believe it's going to bless you. Why don't you check this out?
Well, good evening, church. How you doing tonight? Come on, come on, come on. It's great to be in church. Now, we got many students that have been away over summer and come back around this time of year. Who just came back this week? Many people just come back this week, a handful of people. Praise God, praise God. We got we had our Planet Uni Coaches Day yesterday, getting ready for the year. Who knows, it's going to be an incredible year. Not a lot of belief in that. Who knows, it's going to be an incredible year. Who knows, a double portion was pretty amazing, but God's got more for us. I mean, of course He's got more for us. That's His nature. The nature of God is that He has more. He's got more for you even right now than what we just experienced 10 minutes ago. You might have had your miracle yesterday, but God's got a breakthrough for you today. Come on, who knows, God's got more this year. The word is for this. Well, I do know what the word is for this year, but that's not my job to. But let's just say it was double portion last year. We don't leave double portion behind and say, okay, that was a wonderful year. We'll just down it. No. God's got more. Maybe it's triple portion. I don't know. You'll have to come on March the 4th to find out. But come on, why don't you praise God for the more He's got for you? It's good. It's good. Sit down. It's good to be in church. Praise God. We've had a great day all day today and ready for an incredible year. And Urban Life started this week. By the way, if you're not in an Urban Life group, I'm just not sure what you're doing with your life. You're really missing out. That's what you're doing. It's unfortunate. But you can be part of an Urban Life group. And also, the fact that the year's starting means Planet Shakers Conference is like round the corner. It's almost, it's 7 weeks away. And I actually figured this out this morning. Seven is God's number of perfection, which means there's really no more perfect time to register than today. Come on. Even if just for that revelation the Lord gave me. It's fantastic. Well, it's an honor to be sharing the word with you today. And I want to preach to you tonight about this thought, hidden spaces. Hidden spaces. The word of God says in Mark chapter number 4, says the kingdom of God. Oh, you missed it. The word of God says in Mark chapter number 4. We've got to keep up tonight. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. We don't get told what type of seed this is initially. We don't know what kind of seed, what plant he's growing. All we know that he's scattering the seed on the ground. Verse 27 says, night and day. Somebody say night and day. Come on, like you know where I'm going with this. Say night and day. Night and day, whether he's asleep or awake, whatever he's doing, whatever the sun's doing, whatever temperature it is, whatever the outside elements are doing, night and day, whether he's asleep or awake, that seed is growing. And we read about this seed that grows, it sprouts and it grows. The farmer doesn't even know how it happens. Verse 28, the earth produces the crops on its own. First just a leaf pushes through. Then the heads of the plant are formed and finally the grain ripens. See, sometimes when something grows, it appears like it's barely changing. It's like a lot of us, if we go away for holidays and we come back, we're like, wow, you've changed. You did the F45 8-week challenge, Pastor Bray. You've changed. You're less of a man than last time I saw you. Like in a positive sense. Okay, cool. See, sometimes growth doesn't happen as quickly as we might want it, but don't doubt, growth is definitely happening. And then verse 29, as soon as the grain is ready, praise God, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Come on, can we just praise God for a moment that the harvest time has come? The harvest time has come. The Bible says the fields are white with harvest, that there's a harvest ready to happen, that God's got a harvest for you today, that He's got a harvest for you this year that maybe it was taking longer than you thought it would take. Maybe you hadn't seen it grow. Maybe you didn't know that God was doing something even while you were asleep. But there's a harvest that God has for you to reap. Oh, come on, church. You thought double portion was good. I'm telling you, God's got more for us. He's got a greater harvest for you. In your job, in your study, in your relationships, in your family. God's got more. He's got more. There's a harvest coming. Come on, there's a harvest coming. I don't know if that excites you. There's a harvest that God has for us. I'm so thankful that the promises of God is that He has nothing for us. No, He's got a harvest for us. Every day we wake up, He's got something for us. He's got more for us to step into. Come on, why don't we thank God tonight? God, we thank You for Your power, Your presence that is already so evidently here. We thank You that every time Your Word says it, and it happens, that where two or three are gathered in Your name, there You are in the midst. God, thank You that that is the truth. Every week we gather together, here You are. Here You are with an encounter for us. Here You are with miracles for us. Here You are with Your presence just waiting to pour out on us. Here You are with Your river just ready to overwhelm us and flood our souls. God, thank You that every time we gather together, here You are. And God, as we come around Your Word today, I thank You we're not here just to hang out. We're not here just for being here. Lord, we're here to encounter You. We're here so You can do whatever You want to do. So Lord, we give You permission tonight to change us. Don't let us walk out the same way we walked in. Somebody with faith tonight, shout a big amen. 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 Praise God. I want to speak to you tonight about this thought. Hidden spaces. Hidden spaces. Chelsea and I, we moved house recently. Just towards the end of last year, we moved house. And it's just a fantastic time, a joyous time. And to be honest, my wife needs me to clarify some things that I told in the last service, so I've got to make sure I do this right this time. When I say that we moved house, I really need to make sure you understand that she moved house. Because quite unfortunately, thanks Pastor Russell, quite unfortunately, after we had locked in this whole idea of let's move house, I had to go on a work trip. So I was overseas the day that we moved house, which meant I was overseas the day that she moved house. Praise God. Not a problem. It was rather unfortunate timing. So sorry. I'll let you know next time we move house. Try and hook it up again. Not a problem. But I realized something about moving house that I'd forgotten. I don't know how often you moved house. I used to move house a lot when I moved to Melbourne, but since we've been married, we've only moved house once before. And it had been just about long enough since we moved house the last time that I forgot this one thing about moving house. I'd forgotten it had been that long, but I was reminded very quickly. I hate it. I hate moving house. I don't know if you move often. I hate it. It's not fun. There's not much enjoyable about it whatsoever. And there's a whole process to it. So you get all of your stuff that you've accumulated over the years that you've been living in this house and things that you don't even know you needed, but you need it. And now it comes time to move and you're packing. It's like, well, do I need it? Do I need 17 Starbucks mugs from every city in the world? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Absolutely. Do I need 34 of these or 17 of these? I don't even know why we got all of these things, but they accumulate. And so you put all these things in boxes and do I need this? Does it bring me joy? No. And more importantly, does it fit the color scheme? No, who cares? Can it just not fit the color scheme? Can we just keep it? It costs money. And so we pack all of this thing. That's just joyous right there. You go, you box everything up. Fantastic. And then comes the next part. The dreaded house clean. Yes. Cleaning. Praise God. Now, I like to think I'm a rather tidy individual. I kind of just like things
when they're in order, when they're in the place where they're meant to be, I get stressed out if things are just kind of everywhere. Someone once told me that the inside of your bedroom is a reflection of what the inside of your mind is like. Ooh. That's a conviction right there. That's not the point of my sermon. You know, maybe you could talk about your car. The inside of your car is a reflection. You know, someone came to pick me up from the airport once, which I was very, very blessed by, the fact that even someone was coming to pick me up. They had their dirty sweat socks in the footwell of the seat where I was going to sit. And I thought to myself, I feel like this might be a reflection. And that person's in the room right now, but I'm not looking at him. It's not you, Chelsea. That's not you. Praise God. But Pastor Noel's gotten a lot better. So, hey, praise God. You know what that does mean is she was sticking to her New Year's resolutions and going to the gym. What about some of you? All right, I got you. That's good. But I tend to like it when things are just in place, when they're ordered. I like it when things are neat. It's just, it makes me happy. Praise God. It brings me joy. But there's another part of things being tidy and having a good house that I don't enjoy so much, and that's the cleaning part. I like being tidy. I hate cleaning. It's just not enjoyable to get out a rag and some spray. Who needs dust? God, why did you create it? My goodness sake. Praise God. And they told me this one thing, right? They told me when I got married. They told me that opposites attract. And in many ways, I believe that was true. But in this one area, they were lying. My wife doesn't enjoy cleaning either. Now, this is what I need to clarify. Some people, after I finished telling this story in the last service, thought that we were living in a swamp. No, we don't enjoy cleaning. Do we clean? Yes, you have to clean. Otherwise, you get sick and it's gross. Do we enjoy it? No, we do not. Not only does my wife not enjoy cleaning, I don't think she enjoys tidiness as much as I do. It's a better way of saying it. I feel like every day is a competition when she chooses an outfit. It's like, how many things can I choose from? Let's get the whole closet and put it over the room and just see. I got the microphone. I'm telling the story. See, the thing that I discovered is that we're going to have an argument tonight. The other thing I discovered, this thing I discovered is we don't like cleaning, but we do clean. We really do clean our house. I promise you, if you ever came over, it's a clean house, but it's not as clean as I thought it was. You see, I used to think my carpets were clean. Then I moved house. And moving house means you move all the furniture that had been in place. And I discovered something. That hidden places had become dirty spaces. That growing behind these cupboards was dust. The whole time something was growing there and I didn't even realize. I used to think my walls were perfectly white. But I didn't realize that growing on those walls was the number of scuff marks. Every time we carried something past or left a mark on those walls, so there was something growing. When I went out in the garden, don't even start me on the garden. I hate the garden. There were things growing that shouldn't have been growing. The things that should have been growing weren't growing. Praise God for rental properties. You just cut it all out and see you later. I did the best I could, I promise. First class, yes. Now, for the rest of the story, you'll need to ask Chelsea because that's right about the point that I went overseas. The move, I hear it was just fantastic. But even in coming back, you come back to a new house, you got all of these boxes and most of them were unpacked. But there were some that weren't, and so you got to decide where things go and you have to get new pieces of furniture. And this is about the point. And then Chelsea went overseas. She went on our Asia conferences tour and she was there and I got the blessed job of putting together all these pieces of IKEA furniture. I feel like it should be mandatory during 21 days of prayer and fasting. We put a piece of IKEA furniture together every day. If that won't lift your prayer life, I just don't know what will. My gosh. It's probably better that she was out of the house for that. And so there I was building furniture and the house was put together and Chelsea was about to come home and I thought to myself, I need to clean the house. Because we just moved in, it was a brand new house. No one has even lived there before. But even since being there a few weeks, there was dust growing on all the surfaces again. And I thought to myself, I hate cleaning. So I'm going to do something. I felt like it was inspired of the Lord. I thought, Lord, this is a great idea. So I went out to the shop. I bought all new cleaning equipment. I thought, if everything's new and shiny, maybe I'll like it more. I got this new mop. This new mop, it was an extra wide, like heavy duty. It's like a big mop. Thought to myself, get that mop on the floor. It's bigger. It means the surface is covered quicker. That means I'm cleaning for less time. This is good. Went out, mopped the floor, cleaned the house top to bottom, got all the marks off the wall ready for my wife to come home. What a good husband. And I went out the back and I was getting ready to throw the mop water out and I saw sitting in the corner of our new backyard, there's our old mop. We hadn't thrown it out yet. I thought to myself, we should throw that out. Didn't do it, just thought it. But it had been sitting in this bucket and it had rained at some point in time and the bucket was half full of water and I walked over to this bucket and wouldn't you believe it, growing inside this bucket, there was little insects and bugs and they were swimming around in the water. And to me, if you're an underwater bug, that makes you a fish. Yes? I'd started my own fish factory in the backyard and I didn't even know it. And I discovered again, hidden spaces can become dirty places if we take our eye off what is growing there. You see, the thing is, at that point, I began to think about all that I'd been through and the more that Chelsea had been through, praise God for her. And I began to realize that everything grows. Everything is growing. The way God created the world was He created the world that it could grow, that it could multiply. He came down and created the earth. If I need a new tree, I don't need to pray to God that He would come down into my backyard and say, therefore art thou new tree. I can just take a seed from one that He already created and plant one and grow it itself. It will grow. You see, something is growing all the time, but I discovered that things are growing even when I take my eye off them. And if I'm not paying attention to what is growing, then it's highly likely something's growing that I don't want to grow there. That's not God's best for my life. See, no matter what, there is growth all around us. And in this parable that we read tonight, this farmer, he was planting his seed, and we don't hear initially what the seed was, but it was growing, and we learn that it was growing night and day. No matter what he did, the seed was growing. We live in this world where everything is growing all the time. And you see, if you didn't know, if the farmer didn't know what seed he had planted, he would have to wait until that seed grew up, broke ground, turned into a plant, began to bear fruit before he would know what it was that he was growing. The only way for him to stop that growth would be to go back into the soil and uproot those seeds. You see, in my house, and I guarantee in your house too, if you look hard enough, you're gonna find that there is dust and there is dirt growing in places that you don't look very often. In my old mop bucket, I had not intentionally planted seeds there for little fish bugs. But I also had not intentionally stopped seeds being planted there. You see, growth in the world is inevitable. There's something so powerful about growth. If you think about it, a tree can break through concrete just in the roots as they're growing. A tiny little weed can pop up in the middle of an asphalt road. A little weed can grow through that road. Why? Because growth is inevitable. Growth always happens. You know where I'm going with this, right? What are we growing on the inside of us? What is growing in our heart, maybe even in the corners of our heart. Yeah, we've got our furniture set up, we've got our system set up, but if you were to pull some of that furniture aside and allow the light of the Holy Spirit to shine into the corners of your heart, I wonder what we would find. There's an example of this in the Old Testament. King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10 says this about him. It says, finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. He was chosen for what? He was chosen to be the king. What an amazing, amazing moment for him. This was his inauguration. This was the coming of royalty. This was the first king in the history of the nation. What a moment for him to be proud. What a moment for him to be thankful. What a moment for him to know that he's blessed by God. And the Bible says he was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. Because that is a very normal thing to do, apparently. So they found him and they brought him out and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. And then the man of God, Samuel, said to all the people, this is the man the Lord has chosen. This man who was hiding in the luggage, he's the man that God has chosen to be your king. No one in the whole land is like him. And all the people shouted, long live the king. Saul had a problem. Saul's problem was that he had insecurity in his heart. But to be honest, that's not that big of a problem. Because if you ask me, I think everyone deals with insecurity in their life. I think we all need to make sure all the time that we don't have insecurity in our heart. So yes, he did have a problem with insecurity, but the bigger problem he had is that he never got it out of his heart. Is that it always was there, always growing. He allowed it to get the best of him. If you look at his life as it unravels after he is inaugurated king, he's out one day waiting for the man of God to appear and he gets embarrassed. What's everyone going to think of him? The man of God's taking so long. I'm just going to step in and do it. He messes up. He does the wrong thing. A few chapters after that, he grabs the man of God and says, you have to come with me and worship publicly so everyone will know that I'm worthy of honor. What was he doing? He was insecure. It was always about what are people going to think about him. Fast forward another few chapters, David arrives on the scene. David kills Goliath and they began singing, Saul has killed thousands. David has killed tens of thousands. He hated it. What would people think of him? Then David struck up a friendship with his son. He hated it. What would everyone think of him? Insecurity is really pride at its root. Because it's always focused on what are people thinking about me. The problem wasn't that he had it. The problem was that he let it grow and grow and grow and mature. And eventually it overtook his life and it ended his kingship and ended his life. It was growing in him the entire time. But see, all he had to do was instead of letting insecurity grow, he could have uprooted it and planted a different crop. Instead of insecurity, he could have planted security in God. Instead of fear, he could have planted courage in the Lord. Instead of pride, he could have humbled himself in the presence of God. You see, he never checked on what was growing and he let the wrong thing grow. And it can be the same for us. That we let the wrong things grow. We need to always be on the lookout. And the thing with these seeds is when they start, they're so small. And if we catch them when they're small, we can just pull them back out of our heart. Not a problem, get rid of them. But maybe you've allowed one to take root and it's gone down a little bit. Its roots have dug into your heart and it's beginning to appear above the surface. Still a great time to grab that. Pull up what God's best is, what's not God's best for you and get that out of your heart. I remember a couple of years ago, I was out walking late one night. That's how I pray. If I'm not walking, I get distracted. I look at my phone. I don't like praying when I'm driving because I just get angry. And so I'm working through that with the Lord. Praise God. We'll deal with that. But so I walk and pray. I like walking and praying. And I was out walking and praying one night. And look, to be honest, it probably wasn't the best idea where I was walking and the time of night that I was walking. And I've shared this story before, but it just so happens this one night as I was out walking, I got mugged at knife point. I got beaten up a little bit and had my phone stolen. And to be honest, I was pretty shaken. I was pretty shaken up. And I remember I went to work the next day and everything was all good. I got home that next night, 24 hours later. And there's something in my spirit. I'm like, I was determined. I don't want to let fear take root in my life. And so the very next night, I went out for a prayer walk again. Exact same time, slightly different place with more street light. Not all dumb. So I went out because I was determined. I did not want fear to grab a hold of me. Something like that is going to put fear in you. And I wanted to grab it before it took root in my heart and pull it out. And remember, I was out there maybe for close to 2 hours. I was just praying the word of God, which, by the way, says God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. What I was doing was I was uprooting what the devil wanted to put in there. And then I was sowing in what God had for me. The devil had fear for me, but God has love, power, and a sound mind. See, that's the goodness of God. The enemy tries to come with one bad thing. God gets rid of that and just pours three good things back into your life. And then the problem with fear is fear will begin to diminish your faith. Fear will begin to get into your faith in God and hinder your ability to trust in God. And I was so determined that night, I do not want fear in my life. And I prayed myself until I was free of that. And I wasn't scared every time I heard a noise behind. And then I realized, maybe 8 months later, there's something still there. I thought I'd gotten all of it. And maybe I did initially. Then something had kind of gotten back into my heart. And the way I realized it, I couldn't handle people being behind me. Because that's what happened when I was mugged, is this guy snuck up behind me. And every time I'd hear someone behind me, I'd spin around. Didn't matter where I was in the world. Didn't matter what environment I was in. I'd always be spinning around looking at what was over my shoulder. Which, by the way, that's not God's best for you. He doesn't want you looking back. He wants you looking forward. But I realized in that moment, fear had again crept into my heart. So what I had to do again was I had to uproot it. I had to get rid of it. I had to make sure there wasn't a shred of doubt in my heart that God truly did have love, peace, power, and a sound mind for me. Wouldn't you know it? I was out praying this week. I was out praying around this area, going for a walk. This guy started following me. He was about 20 meters behind me. He was following me for quite a while, to be honest. It's rather annoying. I didn't know who he was. I was trying to pray. Couldn't pray very loudly because he was there. He might hear me pray for him or against him. But there I was praying against him. I mean, praying to the Lord. And I kept looking over my shoulder. I was starting to get annoyed. I'm like, God, I just want to pray. What is he following me for? I don't even know who he is. What's he doing behind me? He followed me for about half a kilometer. And eventually he kind of pulled off in a different side street. I thought, oh, good. My looks scared him off. He didn't want to take me. But I realized, again, it had gotten back in my heart. See, the thing about seed is seed will grow anyway. Doesn't matter how old you are or young you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian or old you've been a Christian. Doesn't matter how new your house is or how old your house is. Things are going to grow. And if we don't pay attention to what is growing, then the wrong thing is going to be growing. And we're going to turn around and find all of a sudden that we've got things in our heart that are not God's best for us. You see, this is one of the powerful reasons why we need to come to church every week. We got to come to church every week. And this is a revelation maybe for some people here. Yeah, it's great to come to church every now and again. If that's all you do, it's better than not coming at all. Absolutely. But can I implore you to come to church every week for no other reason than you got to encounter God. The Bible even says that do not give up the practice of meeting together regularly. They used to meet together for church every day. Maybe we should start that. But we just do it once a week. And the beauty of coming into here is you come into the power and the presence of God. When we're in praise and we're in worship, thank God. We have leaders who stand up on this stage and they'll say, come on, church, raise your hands. Come on, church, let's grab our attention and put it onto heaven. Come on, church, let's stir your praise. Doesn't matter how you came in here, when we begin to praise God, we're in the presence where anything is possible. Because in His presence is everything we need. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in His presence, I don't feel fear. I don't feel insecure. I don't feel bound up. I don't feel rejected. I don't feel alone. That's the power of the presence of God. That's why we got to position ourselves in His house every week. Because sometimes we don't realize what's been planted that week. And can I go deeper? This is why we should be in Urban Life every fortnight. Oh, come on, somebody. Because sometimes when you go to Urban Life Group, other people are going to see something in you before you see it. And we get this opportunity to come together. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Faithful are the wounds of a brother. Praise God for people that we can do life with. Thank God that this big church can be big and it can also be small, that we can do life together. Why? Because I want to make sure the right thing's going on in here. I want to make sure the right thing's growing in here. See, we need to check our hearts and our lives because, see, if we work our way backwards, Nikki, you can come, through this chapter, we read this parable of the growing seed. But if we rewind a few verses, Jesus was in the middle of telling another parable about seed and about soil, and there's this amazing promise. He says this, verse 20 of chapter 4 in the book of Mark, it says, "The seed that falls on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted." For those who hear the word of God, those who hear and accept God's word produce a harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. See, when we take care of our life, when we take care of our heart, when we plant the right thing, there's a pretty amazing harvest that God has for us. And I don't know about you, double portion was amazing last year, but I know God's got more for us. I know that there is more that He has in store, because that is the very nature of God. It's not like we've run out of things that He has for us to see. And the promise here is not just double, it's 30-fold, it's 60-fold, it's even 100-fold. There's an increase that God has. There's more that God has. That's the promise of God. You see, the seed is this. It's God's word as it goes down into our heart. It's not just a rule book. It lives and it works life into us. And this amazing principle of the seed. God was showing me out of this parable that we read right at the start. The Bible says that the farmer scatters his seed and he does not know even how it grows. And it says, whether he's asleep or awake, it says, whether it's nighttime or it's daytime, that seed is growing. You just got to work out what seed that is. Because whatever seed you got, it's going to grow in the nighttime and the daytime. It's going to grow in the good times and the bad times. It's going to grow when things are going well and when the storms are raging. If you got that good seed in your heart, praise God. If you got courage, if you got faith, if you got peace, if you got the promises of God, then when times are good, of course it's going to grow. When everything's going fantastically, when there's victory surrounding you, of course that seed is going to grow. But when it's nighttime, when the bad things are going on, when things are difficult, when things are hard, when there are storms raging, yes, the seed continues to grow. All of a sudden things are difficult. Faith is beginning to rise. All of a sudden things are hard. Courage is beginning to be stirred up. All of a sudden things look impossible. The faith is rising in your heart in the impossible abilities of God, of what He can do in your situation. You see, the seed that you've got is going to grow no matter what is going on around you. That's the power that God has put into the seed. This power that He has created in a seed. A couple of years ago, I was on vacation with Chelsea. It was a fantastic vacation because neither of us were moving house. And we were over in Italy. We went to this place in Italy, the ruins of this city they called Pompeii. And Pompeii, they only found it like, I think, 100 or so years ago. But it,
the history of it is, it was this is quite a large city, and a volcano blew up right near it. And almost instantly, everything in that city was covered. It died. I mean, you can even go there and you can see a person and a dog that just got covered so quickly that once they uncovered it all, you can see exactly where they were trying to run away from the volcano. It was crazy. And we went into, so they've uncovered it all, and we went into this wealthy person's house, and you can see their paintings on the wall from thousands of years ago. And we went out into their backyard, and it was a lovely backyard, but then the guide started telling us, they said, see these plants here? We said, yeah. So when the volcano blew, those plants got burnt to the ground so quickly, but then it got covered with all this volcanic ash. And when they were uncovering the whole city and when they were digging everything up, all of a sudden they found out that while the plants down to the ground had been burnt, there was still the seed. The seed was still there. And so the garden that we got to walk around and walk in the middle of was the exact garden that would have been there thousands of years ago. Same seed, same plant. It's the power of the seed. You know, even in a desert, they say that you can't see it in this particular type of desert, but some deserts, they get so dry that these big old cracks open up in the ground, just the earth seeking moisture from anywhere it can find it. But not only does that happen, but in something like this, it just looks lifeless. That often what can happen is sometimes an outpouring would take place. And there'll be water that would just flood the valley. And they'll discover that the whole time, even though it looked lifeless, even though there was nothing that they could see, the whole time, sometimes for decades, there were seeds that were hidden in the ground and nothing was happening to those seeds because it wasn't in a place where it could grow. But the moment an outpouring happened, the moment the river began to flow in that area, all of a sudden life began to spring up. All of a sudden plants began to grow. The roots started going down deep. The plants started breaking ground. And all of a sudden you could see what used to look lifeless. Now there was life all around. You see, friend, there are seeds that have been sown. There are people that have prayed for you. Sometimes 30, 40, 50 years ago, people praying for your salvation, praying for your destiny, praying for the future God had for you. Sometimes before you were even alive, there are seeds that have been sown. And maybe they're just still lying there. They haven't come to fruition yet. But I'm believing tonight that as that outpouring, that as that river begins to flow, begins to flood, begins to overwhelm, there's a harvest that's beginning to take place in your life.
Well, amen, amen. That is what I am believing for your life today. Jesus' promise to us is that when that word of God goes down deep into our heart, 30, 60, 100 fold the harvest would be. That's what I want in everybody's life, that the word of God would go down deep, even in your heart today. Why don't you let his word go down deep? And hey, we would love to also stay connected with you. You can do all of that. PlanetShakers.com is our website. At PlanetShakers on all the social media platforms. Come and say g'day. It's been a blessing. We'll see you next week.